I've been quite exercised about a particular verse in Romans 8, and I just loved what Pete did last week in talking about freedom and the freedom that we have in Christ and the freedom to live boldly and courageously because of what Jesus has done in us. And I think sometimes we don't really lay hold of that freedom in the way that I think God wants us to lay hold of it. We can sort of find ourselves caught up in the challenges of life and think that it's all too much at times. But yet Christ has given us freedom, and it was for freedom that he set us free, so that we shouldn't be bound any longer to any form of yoke or slavery. And I want to just share something with you today under the topic of a powerful shadow. You have a powerful shadow. A shadow that is born out of freedom. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that in just a moment, but you'll know the story in Acts 5 where it talks there. It says, "So when they carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." The sense is there is this atmosphere around Paul as he's going out, and something dramatic is happening because there's something dramatic has happened in him. It's not that God has somehow given him the ready brick glow so he might sort of have his influence. Something dramatic has happened in him, and so something dramatic happens around him. And I want to suggest to you this morning, that's not just for Peter, it's also for us. I remember reading a story of Charles Finney way back in the olden days, way before many of us, I guess. And it was said of him that the presence of God that was exuding from him because of what God was doing in him, he would pass through a station on a train and people would be born again on the platform. It's almost like his shadow fell on those people and something dramatic happened. It was another story once where he was staying in a hotel of ill repute, let's say, and he was in a room next door to some prostitutes. And as he was on his knees praying in that room, so the presence of God fell in the room next door, and two prostitutes bowed down and gave their life to Jesus Christ. You know, there's something in us that God wants to exude from us. You know what it's like if you go into a room and you can tell who's been in the room by the scent of their fragrance, their perfume, or their aftershave. And you just go, "Oh, such and such is here. Why? How do you know? I haven't seen them. No, I can smell that they've been here. There's an aroma around that person that you becomes something you become aware of, you know." And I want to suggest to you this morning that what God has done in us, in the freedom that he has given us, is creating a power that works out of us. But we have to be confident of what God has done in us for that to be the case. If we're always looking in and wondering, am I saved? Am I free? Am I bold enough? Am I courageous enough? Has God called me? Hasn't he called me? We will never exude around us what God wants to exude. Now, I just mentioned just now that my heading for this is we have a powerful shadow. I remember a time when I was in the Royal Navy and we had gone to the Seychelles as a part of the independence of the Seychelles from the Commonwealth. And the ship I was on was the flagship of the Royal Navy at the time with one of the admirals on board. And it was used as a place to sign documents of the independence, etc. Well, I had a week's leave while all this was going on. And in the Seychelles, the only thing to do when you're on a week's leave is to sleep on the beach and eat on the beach and swim in the sea and do all the kind of stuff you would do in the Seychelles. And one day I got myself a canoe and I decided to paddle around in the lovely crystal clear blue waters, knowing full well that just off the shore of the place I was in were some huge shark nets that you were very, very aware of, keeping out the predators. But I felt quite safe paddling around on my canoe. But this was back in around about 1977, so that is quite a long time ago. But it was just after the infamous Jaws movie. Okay, now we all know the sound, don't we, of the Jaws movie? Do-do, Anyway, I won't go on to that any further. Anyway, I'm on my canoe paddling around, water lapping up against the side. The sun is beating down. It's a beautiful day. And I look down, and there's this huge, huge black shape underneath me. And in that moment, I was terrified. Because all I could hear was the Jaws movie. I tell you, I think I squealed like a sissy and then paddled like mad. I was paddling furiously. I was going so hard at this thing. But the problem was it was chasing me. I've got to get away, got to get away. And then I stopped and I went, oh, you silly twit. It was my shadow. True story. I was scared of my own shadow. Yeah, really. Really, it was the shadow of the canoe on the bottom of the... Anyway. But sometimes we have things that overshadow our lives that can hinder us from reflecting a powerful shadow. You might have things in your history that just stop you. Maybe experiences, maybe people in your lives have overshadowed you and have told you you're worthless, or have told you that actually you're no good. You can't do this, you can't do that. Maybe you've had parents that haven't been altogether great, and their shadow still hangs over you, and you find almost that the way you live is based on the fact that this is still hovering over you. And I want to suggest to you this morning, if that's you, then I would listen to Pete's word from last week. Because it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And even though there may be things in your past that overshadow you, they are not things to be fearful of. Because we've been given a spirit of love. We've been given a spirit of sonship. And all that banishes fear. We no longer have to fear. We no longer have to be afraid of the shadows that are cast over us. But we can walk with boldness and confidence in spite of the past. Now, I don't want to go into that in any great detail. But if you're in that place and you find there are things from your past that just keep you from moving forward, then get some prayer. Ask for some prayer. We're running the Freedom in Christ course again from September, I believe, October. Why don't you go on the Freedom in Christ course? It will really help you to overcome some of those historic shadows that keep you from moving forward, or making yourself feel like a twit when you're trying to paddle away from your shadow that seems to be chasing you. I just want to say this morning also, if you don't cast a shadow, well, I'm concerned about that right now. We won't go there at all. Sorry, that was a bit odd. I didn't mean that to be. But let me just read to you a verse that everyone knows, the most quoted verse in the Bible, I'm sure. Romans 8:28. Who can quote me Romans 8:28? Yeah, see, we've got it coming through here. It says here, "And we know, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes." Let me say that again. "And we know." Unlike just a little bit before in verse 26, for it says, "We do not know how to pray." Here it says, "We know." We are absolutely convinced, in other words, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. This verse can often be used therapeutically. In other words, you're going through difficult times, and it's kind of a therapeutic verse that you can minister to yourself and say, "Well, I know I'm going through a tough time, but actually I know that all things work together for good for those who love God and according to his purposes." It can be quite therapeutic, but I think it's far from therapeutic. I think it's a stance of power and authority. I think it's a stance that God gives us in Christ Jesus to be able to stand and clearly say, we know, because we love God, all things are working for good towards those who are called according to his purposes. That's not a therapeutic scripture. It's a scripture of authority. We know that this is the case, that all things are working together for good. Now, one might ask the question, what are those all things? Is that, if I do the lottery, I might win and buy myself a really nice car? Is it those kind of things? No, it's not those kind of things. All things are the kind of things that we find in the scriptures. Now, I don't want to go into great detail over this, but for example, that he also predestined us to be conformed to his image. There's an all thing. There's many all things we could find going through the scriptures. We are children of God, heirs of God. There's an all thing. He's given us everything in Christ Jesus as heirs. And it says also, now in all these things, this in verse 37, we are then now conquerors through him who loved us. There are all things in Christ work together for our good. There are some incredible, incredible elements of scripture that cause us to be an incredible, powerful people. And God wants us to live from that place. I could go into this verse in huge, huge detail, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be as much help this morning as I would hope it might be. However, how do we now live on the basis of this? We've got freedom in Christ. How do we live on the basis that all things are working toward our good? Paul says in Romans 8, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is written, all day long we're being killed for your sake. So all those things are going on, but it says that now in all these things we are conquerors through Christ who loves us. I know some of you are going through terrible things. Some are going through massive health issues. We need to keep lifting up Colin and Penny. As Penny has had some dreadful news this week concerning her health. Some dreadful news. But we can still say with confidence that all things work together for our good. And if that wasn't the case, if we said yes, all things except for that, then we're limited with authority and power, we're limited in how we stand in life. But even though we may face those trials of various kinds, we're filled with joy inexpressible, Peter says. Because we know for those who love God, all things work together for our good. So this being the case, have you ever considered that there are people right now living in your shadow who are wondering how you're going to handle what you face? Who are looking and reading you before they read their Bible? Wondering how a witness of Christ Jesus handles the challenges of everyday life. I know that in my life, there are people that live in my shadow by sheer proximity. My sons, my grandchildren, my wife, she has no choice. She's going to live in my shadow whether she likes it or not. My co-workers, elders, team, friends, they all live in my shadow, come what may. There are other people that are strategically in my shadow. They said, I like being around that person, so I'm going to get alongside of that person. It's just more of a strategic thing. You get invites to places. I like being with you. You help me. You do me good. And then, of course, there are those who are in our shadow accidentally. You go to the coffee shop more than once a month. And the barista who serves you remembers you, smiles at you, greets you. And you do that week after week after week. And suddenly that person is in your shadow. What are they going to see? What will they find? Will they find someone who can live from that basis of saying, yes, I am free in Christ, and so reflect something of that in my life? Do they see somebody who is really confident, even though they're going through trials of various kinds? What do they see when they come close to you? My kids will probably give you their own description of what they see in me. I'm not sure it'll also be altogether that helpful. But I hope it's more helpful than not, because they've been close. You see, when someone comes into your shadow, they get very close to you. They get to see what you're really like. And that's important, as we will see. What's so amazing, or actually what is so hard, is that the people in our shadows are watching us closely, but even more as followers of Christ. How often people will challenge the way we live because we have declared that we're followers of Jesus. A lot of people are looking at our lives, trying to decide whether they want to become followers of Jesus themselves. Your life is a witness. It's not just what you speak. It's the shadow that you cast around you. They're watching to see how we handle the good things, the perplexing things, the challenging things, or even the impossible things. We might say, well, that's not fair, Lord. Let me handle my stuff in private, please. But the moment you declare that you're a Christian, nothing is now private. Because there are always those who want to analyze how Christian a Christian really is. So is your shadow powerful? What do they see when they come into your shadow? But it's clear, it's God's intention for us to live impactful lives that are lived in an intentional way for His glory. Let me tell you, Romans 8:28, for me, it's the source of having a powerful shadow. In all things, God works for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. To me, it's the source of that powerful shadow. The shadow, your shadow has influence. Start there. I believe when we live in the Romans 8:28, being conformed to the image of His Son, your shadow becomes a reflection of Jesus in you. If going through circumstances, you shake your fist at the world and you shake your fist at those things that you're going through, what do people see when they come into your shadow? Didn't He say a reflection of Christ? Or do they see something that's bouncing between a bit of reflection? Have you ever tried to tune a TV in and you can't quite get it there? And you know it's there, you know the channel's there, but you can't quite see it. I think sometimes, if we're not clear that we are reflecting Christ, we can be a bit like that. We're trying to tune in, but actually what people are seeing is not that clear. See, I believe that those who stand in our shadow, when we live a reflective life of the One who rescued and saves us and loves us, they will begin to see something extraordinary. When we live reflecting Christ, what people will see is Christ in you. They will feel Christ in you. I remember we had a carpet fitter come into our house one day. So he came into our shadow, if you like. And as he walked in the door, he stopped, as if he'd just been stopped by something. And he just said, wow, what an extraordinary piece in here. It was the most bizarre thing. I couldn't understand it. But then I thought, no, he just stepped into our shadow. So what did he find? He found peace. He had to get close to find that one. We could have shouted it from the door, hey, come here and find peace. And he would have walked straight past, walk into the influence of our shadow, and he found peace. Quite extraordinary, really. However, if we live a life that is compromised, our shadow becomes foggy. Our shadow becomes confusing. Because your shadow is always consistent with your life. Have you ever walked down the road on a sunny day and there goes your shadow as you're walking? It's always consistent with your life. It's consistent with every step you take. And so it is with the way we live. Our shadow will be consistent with what's going on in our heart. But when we live a life that is compromised, it feels like the shadow becomes confusing to people. But you said you're a Christian. You said you follow Jesus. You said you trust Jesus for all things. What's happening? It feels like your shadow has become foggy and confused. But the other thing I think also we need to understand is that a shadow is something that reflects. It's reflecting who we are. It comes off us, it's reflecting who we are. The problem is we're living in a world that likes to project. Facebook, Instagram, it's full of people projecting what they want you to see, what they want you to know about them. So all the best pictures go up. You don't get the grotty pictures. You don't get the early morning pictures when you, bloodshot eyes and looking in the mirror. You don't get all those kind of pictures. You get the best pictures. In fact, with the cameras as they are now, you can take 100 pictures to find the one that's going to be perfect to project what you want the world to see. We live in a world that's projecting a whole time. The politicians, they're projecting. Are they actually reflecting who they really are? There's a big difference between that, between reflecting and projecting. And it's easy to walk in amongst a group of people like this and start projecting. Big smile. Yay! Life is good when life is not. I'm doing well when you're not. Because we don't want people to see that I might be weak and I might be vulnerable. I might be a bit frayed around the edges. I might be a bit ragged. We don't want people to see that. So we project rather than reflect. But the problem is, because our shadow is consistent with who we are, what do people see? See, the reflection is always true to our hearts. People that stand in your shadow will never experience compassion if it doesn't come from a compassionate heart. You can say I'm compassionate all you like, but unless you are reflecting it from your heart, they don't feel compassion, they just hear it. It's a projection. Your shadow will never be a fountain of kindness if it doesn't come from a heart that is filled with kindness. We reflect what Christ is doing in us. And if kindness is at the core and a nature of our being, then we will reflect that. Your shadow will never permeate with the love of Jesus if it doesn't come from a heart that is filled with passion for Jesus. We can only really preach the gospel if we're passionate for Jesus, because it's going to reflect. People fear it in your voice. They feel it in your being. Secondly, your shadow has impact. So it reflects what's in your heart. So don't project. Be consistent with yourself. But also your shadow has impact. An impactful shadow comes from God working in your lives. Do you remember the story in Jeremiah of the potter? Where Jeremiah is told to go down to the potter's house. Listen, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. The inference is this. We are the clay. He's the potter. Does the clay say to the potter, why do you make me this way? Why are you doing what you're doing to me? Or does it simply yield to the hand of the potter? You see, we will have great impact when our shadow comes from being submitted to the ongoing work of God in our lives. If your shadow is having an impact, it's because you have yielded yourself to the potter's hands. If you're forever saying, I don't like what God is doing, God, why are you doing this in me? God, this isn't God, I'm questioning the whole time what God is doing in you. If every circumstance that you face, you come to the conclusion that it must be something wrong with you or God is not very caring at the moment, then you're not going to have impact on someone else's life. Can we submit to the potter's hand? Steve and Cecilia are submitting to the potter's hand. In fact, I want to suggest, I would go as far as to suggest that the fingerprints of the potter is all over them right now. They're not saying, well, actually, you know, I'm really enjoying Norway. You know, it's great, and our family is settled. We've built new friends. I'm doing a night shift in a hotel, Steve. I don't think, yeah, Madagascar, well, that seems a long... No one would really mind if we stay here. The church will love us anyway. But no, they've submitted to the will of God in their lives, which means uprooting themselves again and putting themselves in a challenging situation. And you can see the fingerprints of the potter all over the pot. It's amazing. So they will become impactful in what they do. Their shadow will bring impact into people's lives simply because they have submitted themselves to the will of God. Which is very, very important. When people look at you, do they see the fingerprints of the potter in your life? Because when they do, I can guarantee you your shadow will have great impact because you've been impacted by the hands of the living God. Also, our shadow, its greatest impact does not come from our access to many. I would suggest it comes from access to a few. When I'm out walking, I suppose it depends on the time of the day, my shadow is either very short or slightly longer, but it doesn't go on forever. It is limited in its length. It's limited in what it touches, depending on the time of day. Has limited reach. I cannot impact your life with this microphone and from this distance. I can't. I can influence you. I might inspire you even, or I might irritate you, but I can't impact you. However, if we hang out together, I might be able to impact you. If we go and have a coffee together, I can impact you. Because you come into my shadow. You see, often people think that those who have a public platform have the most impact. They don't. They simply influence. They simply inspire. But when you get alongside of someone, you start to bring impact. We've got to be in close proximity because impact happens when we get up close and personal. That's why it's important. This isn't the only thing we do as a church. Why home groups are important. Why even with the home group, even smaller still, friendship, meeting together. Because that's where we're going to find impact in each other's life. Jesus knew this. See, when he gets the crowd gathering to him, Jesus says, let me go and find an individual. He went and found Zacchaeus. Now, he didn't say to Zacchaeus, I'm going to restore you and heal you in public so as to gather a bigger crowd. He said, no, I'm going to come to your house. We don't know what went on behind those doors. But what we know is Zacchaeus was impacted by the presence of Jesus in his home. What about Jesus at the well? He was on his way to Samaria. He was hungry. He was tired. He sat down at a well. The disciples were, well, come on, Lord, let's get going. We need you to do that 5,000 thing again. We need you to do the bread trick again. Come on, let's go and do the bread trick. That was really fun. Let's do that. Let's do the big thing again. Let's do the thing that they'll all write about. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to stay at the well. So they said, oh, we'll go and get some food then. We're not going to waste our time sitting at the well. Well, why did Jesus sit at the well? So he could have impact on one life. A woman whose reputation was probably not that great, to be honest. After all, she had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not even her husband. But yet Jesus waited at the well for her. And the crazy thing is, the wonderful thing is, when God touches her life, everybody in her shadow knew about it. Everybody. See, the Bible says that many Samaritans came to believe because of this woman. So let me tell you something. We don't need to look for the crowds. You don't need a bigger gathering. You just need to be willing to get alongside of one person. You see, I would suggest the mum or dad at the school gate is your woman at the well. Your neighbor you see daily is your assignment. We can put on big meetings and all we do is have influence. You can get alongside of a person and you'll have impact. But do you not see what happens? Have impact on one person, you change a village. Have impact on this person, you change a town. Home for Good. Forgot his name. Krish was with us last week, week before. Just sharing breakfast with some church leaders here. Lovely time. Steve went on to do some stuff with him. Krish from Home for Good. He's doing an incredible work, but I found out that a good, really good friend of mine led him to Christ in a youth group in Brighton. And then I spoke to that friend of mine this week and said, hey, I bumped into a friend of yours, Krish. And I said, he told me you led him to Christ. He said, oh, yeah. He said, that was great. And then he led my wife to Christ, and then we got married. But Krish was impacted by a single life. Someone got close enough to him. And then when Krish was impacted, many have been impacted. I tell you, the fruit of getting alongside of one to be an impact is huge. The fruit of bigger meetings where influence happens is limited. The power is in the small, not in the big, I want to suggest. Next week, a whole bunch of our church are going off to Naturally Supernatural. Yay! But let me say, the fruit of Naturally Supernatural is not in the big, it's what you do in the small with what you learn from God. If you take that and have impact on an individual life, you'll bring transformation into that life. And who knows, even into a village, a town, a city, who knows where that will go. Don't ignore the moment, because you don't know what God wants to do through your life and their life. Lastly, your shadow is a place of miracles. If we understand and yield to the fact that from him and through him and to him are all things, if we understand that influence comes through consistency of life before God, if we understand the true impact comes from yielding to the potter's hand, if we understand the dynamic of proximity and the importance of one-to-one, then we will see miracles in our shadow. Why? Because to understand all things are working for good, we need to be very close to God. You can't stand back from a distance and declare that with boldness. You've got to be close to God. In fact, you've got to be so close that the enemy cannot whisper in your ear that what you're going through is God being mean to you. We can't. You have to be so close to God that the enemy cannot whisper in your ear. June, the enemy must not whisper in your ear that it's all wrong. Because God says all things will work. And if you're that close to God, your shadows will begin to see miracles. Also, it's because in understanding true influence comes from living consistently, we allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit close enough to change us. And if the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is close enough, and we're close to our Father, then something surely has to happen in our shadow. Also, because in understanding the potter's house, we'll be prepared for anything that God desires. If you're prepared for anything that God desires, God will do miracles in your shadow. I've experienced it many times. And I could stand and tell stories. But I am convinced that when some of these things are in place, miracles will happen in your shadow today. And in understanding the dynamic of proximity, we will see the individual as more important than the crowd. You see, if you can't see the individual as being more important than the crowd, you'll never find the love of God for that person. You'll simply ignore their plight because we're more interested in the crowd. The disciples wanted Jesus to go and do the big thing. Jesus wanted to spend time with a woman of ill repute. See, we have to understand that the power of God working through us means we must show interest in the one person and not become duped that the crowd is better. We must be convinced that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, changing us to be so consistent. We must be convinced that all things are working toward a positive outcome in God. When we do this, I want to suggest this is a recipe for miracles to happen in our shadows. Salvation, healing, hope and help will happen when we live in that manner. How many of you have at times wondered what impact you're having on life? You get to a certain age, don't you? I do. We do, don't we? We get to an age where you say, what have I actually achieved in my life? Does it amount to very much? Well, it doesn't matter whether you are closer to that point than not. Let me suggest, keep your eyes clear and focused on who God is in your life. Let your shadow be cast to change and influence many. Because there's power in your shadow.